Hello, everyone, and welcome to Success Shorts. I'm Arul Chanel. Today, we're joined by Jason Waller. Jason is the dynamic CEO and founder of Power Home Solar, which since its founding in 2014, has grown to nearly $400 million in revenue and 1,600 employees, which has led Power Home to be listed well up on Inc. magazine's list of fastest-growing private companies. Now, Jason and I chat about a whole host of things, but it's really his raw charisma and practicality that I enjoy the most. So I hope you enjoy our time with Jason Waller. Let's go. Jason, it's wonderful to have you.
Hey, thanks, man, for having me. I appreciate it. I'm excited.
Me too, because you're such a compelling person. I've had the chance to listen to you on a couple other podcasts and watch some of your videos, and I'm just really stoked to do this. So I'd like to kind of kick things off with something a little bit practical, because we've all gone through this, and we're all hopefully coming out of a really tumultuous and highly emotional period for a lot of people. But you have this really amazing story of perseverance and persistence that I think is going to lend a really unique lens to this. So I'm curious, what has it been like going through this COVID period, not only for yourself, but also as an employer of so many? And what is something that you learned during this time that you plan on carrying forward, either personally or through business?
No, great question. When this happened, nobody was ready for it. Obviously, it's something that we all have had to deal with and learn as we go. There was a lot of fear, a lot of unknown, a lot of anxiety and stress. Personally, I have a daughter with autoimmune deficiency, so I was very concerned and nervous at the beginning. I've eased up a little bit now. Most of my family's already had the virus and got rid of it. But with business, you know, we met as an executive group early in the virus stage, probably late March, and decided if we were going to stay open or not. And there were some heated conversations with the executive team because most of them felt like we should furlough in 60 or 90 days and pick things back up and take a pause. And this is before they had any kind of unemployment stuff out there, any kind of PPP packages for businesses. We had over 500 employees at the time. We had almost 800 when the pandemic hit. And so I felt it would have been irresponsible to just close. You know, we were an essential service because we offered battery backup. We offered generators and solar and power for people to have at their homes and businesses. So I felt as long as we still had a buyer and a customer interested, then we need to have a place for these people. You know, Marcy, who's a customer service agent and she's a single mom, or Mike, who's an installer and he's the only provider, or David, who's in the design team and they need the income to pay for hopefully their solar bill, but if not their power bill and their rent. Whatever it is, we needed to make sure we had that opportunity for them to do that. And so we, the executives, decided to take ourselves off payroll indefinitely until we could go back on, which was about 3 or 4 months. And then kick all of our vendor payments down the line. Every team worked with us very well. All the NFL teams and vendors were very polite about that, except the Browns. They were a little shady about it. That's fine. We worked it out. And shout out, I know you're a Browns fan. I'm just letting you know. They were the only team to give us an issue. The only team to give us an issue. But during those times, as we pushed everything out, you know, we didn't know what would happen and we stayed open and we grew and more customers wanted our product and we doubled down on TV. And all of a sudden, all these people that were getting let go at other companies, we were hiring and we ended up during the pandemic, not only doubling in size in revenue, but we doubled in size in employees. We're almost 1,700 employees now. And there were moments during this time that, you know, we shared the story of what we did. Hey, look, you know, we're going off payroll so we can stay open for you guys. Fear is different to everybody. You and I can have a different fear aspect of if I've got to go to work or you do, because maybe my kid's got, like I said, an autoimmune deficiency and maybe, you know, you're single and you can handle anything that's thrown your way. Everyone's situation is different. And so we told our employees, look, if you're scared or you're nervous and you want to stay home, use your vacation, use your PTO, you know, we'll mark you as inactive. But after the time happens, you know, when this stuff goes away, you know, we want to have you back. And we didn't have a high percentage of folks go inactive. Most people wanted to work, and a lot of people that were let go at other jobs came in and really wanted to work. So this whole momentum and movement started, and it took off. It bonded us as a family to become Power Home Strong, where everybody stood up for everybody in everybody's situation. And it went really well. You know, we only had a handful of folks that caught the virus since the beginning of this happened. And everybody's come out okay and great. And nothing crazy has happened. And we've continued to grow and overcome the odds and the fear.
That's really amazing. And it really does come down to how do you manage the fear, which I think a lot of people have a mixed experience with that. And sometimes it's because of just a lack of experience with going through something really significant like this and how that affects every other facet of life.
Well, think about this. Imagine if we're at war and I'm the general. If I am scared, all of the soldiers are scared. If I'm in fear and I'm like, this is bad, we're in trouble, then the rest of the team is going to be in fear. But if you go into something like this, like I've got control, I might be scared, but you're not going to know it. And I am going to have conviction and determination to get through it. Then I assure you, the people that follow you, that are on your team, that work for you, your family, your peers, your employees, whatever, they are going to buy in and do that with you. Because when people see fear, they get scared. But if they see people that are content and don't allow fear to control them, that's infectious. And then they feel a little better.
Yeah, that's something that's really fascinating me about your story, because I think a lot of it comes from experience and it comes from your ability, especially early on, to just persevere through a lot of really difficult things. If it's okay with you, I'd like to kind of go down that path just a little bit. Yeah. I'd love to hear about how have those early experiences helped you build like these new levels of perseverance to where it's helping you today?
Look, I've got great parents. They're better grandparents than they were parents. I mean, I love them to death and they worked hard and my parents aren't scared of anything. And I got a lot of that from them. But our home life wasn't perfect. There was, you know, some verbal abuse, some physical abuse here and there. You know, my parents were kids raising kids, kind of like me and my wife, where we had a kid in our teens, didn't finish high school, didn't go to college. And we learn from those experiences. I wouldn't change anything. I have no regrets because it made me stronger. It made me determined. It made me not quit. It made me, I don't tell a lot of people this, and I think this is the first time I've gone on record talking about this. If I got a fight in school, I was more worried about if I lost, my dad would kick my butt, not the person kicking my butt. So that was like this mentality and edge I've always had. So when things are thrown at me, I'm not going to let it defeat me. It may be hard. I may cry. I may whine, but I got to get through it. I got to be tougher than that. I've got to follow through and not be a quitter, because too many times people quit. And then, you know, when you have kids and you have your own family, you got to show them I'm not a quitter. Like, this is what I do. And that, you know, I've used some of those experiences as a kid that were hard, you know, living in a trailer park, not having a lot of money, my dad working two jobs, I'm helping him deliver papers, my mom's working in a bakery. You know, it was wild. It was tough. When you're in it, you think it's normal. It's like, oh, this is every day. It's no big deal. You know, I didn't grow up in the projects or government housing, so I know that situation's a little bit worse. I did grow up with some gangs and some hardcore thugs out in Phoenix, but it's not like LA or New York or Miami. But everyone's situation is different. I still had to overcome my situation. I just did. I just stayed determined and I stayed focused and I took the experiences and the bumps and the bruises I got and I kind of applied it towards life as I went on. And during life, I still have bad results sometimes. I hit the wall and it hurts, or I hit a blockade and I got to find a way to break through it and just keep climbing the stairs.
Yeah, and it's like those early lessons that you learn, like they just help you kind of progress up and up so that no matter what's thrown at you next, you have like a new vantage point from where you're starting. And it's kind of funny, you made that mention that you had good parents that are better grandparents, and I'd have to say the same thing for my parents too. Like, you work with what you have when you have it, right? I mean, your parents were young, my parents were young, and then, you know, you have the whole slew of life lessons.
And the goal is for everyone to be better. So my goal is to be better than my parents, and my goal is for my kids to be better than me, because I've had some bumps and bruises being a parent early on, you know, not knowing what to do, what to say, how to handle it. And I'm still there. I'm a lot better now than I was 10 years ago. And I've got a 22-year-old, a 17-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 10-year-old, and an 18-month-old granddaughter. So, you know, I'm learning every day and getting better. I feel bad because my 22-year-old didn't have the best me or my wife as parents compared to our 10-year-old. However, it's made her such a great person and she's stronger. She's a great mom. to my 18-month-old granddaughter. So we get what is we can handle. And you're right. We play the cards to the best of our ability. I like to play like I've got aces every time. I play to win. I play not to not lose.
Yeah, definitely. And I'd like to hit on that with you for a little bit because, you know, it all comes from like that place of fear or feeling like an imposter, like I don't have the right degree or I don't have the right professional background to do whatever it is you want to do next, start your own business, go for a promotion, whatever it is. And if we look back at your background, you are a high school dropout. Mm-hmm. You probably had some of this negative self-talk going through the years, maybe early on as an entrepreneur. I don't know what that was like in your head, but how did you overcome some of those hurdles that may have been in front of you at those points so that people could kind of hear what does that potentially sound like for them so that they can overcome their own hurdles?
Well, it was by failing and learning. When I was running a security company and early on in my career, I didn't have education and I had people working for me that had all kinds of degrees and they were older than me. They had more money in the bank than I did, yet they were working for me. So there was some intimidation there. There was some insecurities there that you have to eventually get over. And, you know, you got to learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And early on as a young man running a company, I was struggling with that the first year and a half or so, to where I was trying to build something that I believed in. And I've always been a great salesperson, different companies before I opened up my own company. But, you know, and I can get people to follow me and believe in me, but I have these older people that are challenging me, that have an education, that have better, you know, they're more, they have more wisdom than I do with life experience. And they're going to listen to little old me at 24, 25 years old. And so it took a couple bad meetings to where I had to call some people out. And I'm like, hey, who's going to train this week on Saturday? Because the numbers are bad and nobody raised their hand. An older guy smarted off. And, you know, I had to drop some F-bombs on his ass and walk his ass out in front of the meeting in front of everybody to finally gain the respect. And I said, damn, that's all it took. So they were, who's training now? Oh, everyone's hand went up. I said, well, that's the game changer. I've got to learn to come in here and act as if, and I've got to be the leader and not be nervous and not be scared and not be intimidated. I've got to run the show. You know, if we go to war, I got to show these guys I got hired. I'm burning our damn ships and we're going to go finish the war in the island and then rebuild our ships and leave. There's no reason for me to give them a way out or an excuse to not believe in me. I won't let that be the reason they fail. And so I just kind of grew from that moment. You know, my back was against the wall and I got pushed where nobody wanted to do their job. Nobody was listening. And I had to make a scene. I had to call somebody out and make an example out of somebody that, look, that's not how it works for me. You're working for me. I don't give a shit what your background is. I don't care where you went to school. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what you drive. I don't care how good you look. Your ass works for me. We're going to follow my rules or you can bounce and I'll help walk you out. We'll rub elbows and hit the road. So once I had that mentality, things kind of shifted for me to be a better leader, you know, more in power, an alpha male to take control. And it takes, sometimes you get bullied enough, you get pushed enough. You just have enough. You just step up to the occasion. That's what happened for me.
That's really impressive. There's a ton of self-learning in that. And I'm kind of curious. So you have the experience of getting in there, taking the action, being the leader and realizing that you have to change and make modifications along the way. But was there any advice that you got along the way that kind of helped you through that as well? Because, I mean, some of it is just the pure grit and action component. But I'm sure as a CEO, there has to be a bit of nuance involved in that too. How did you begin to foster some of that?
When you're running a company, you run into all kinds of obstacles, right? And one thing that I learned that when I opened the security company, I was still working at Verizon Wireless at the time. So I could run a business and not have to pay myself, which is a big deal because if you get a side hustle going while you have your normal hustle, that's a smart way to handle things. And I was struggling. I didn't pay myself for several months in the security business because I was still doing Verizon and doing this part-time till I could be comfortable and leave. A lot of people think when they open a business or they're an entrepreneur that they're going to make the most money. And that's not the case. I mean, I have, you know, three basic rules on money and entrepreneurship. First, you pay your people. Second, you pay your vendors. Third, if anything's left, you reinvest it in the company and you pay yourself as little as possible. That's it. You follow those three rules, you can grow the company. And I had to learn that in business and home security. And then in the solar company, it was really hard. I sold my house, stuck the money in the company. I sold my alarm company to open the solar company, put that in there. I had nothing left. I wasn't paid for 19 months, 20 months. And it was hard. And I was all in and doubled down, but got to bet on yourself and believe in yourself. And I always say scared money don't make money. So if you're not willing to bet on yourself, nobody else will. Nobody will believe in you and you won't be successful.
It's impressive. Thinking about it, I'm a little bit scared if I was to put myself in that situation. That's something that you just have to overcome. And, you know, kudos to you for sticking to it and figuring it out and growing to where you're at. So we've hit on a few areas today, you know, and I read an article that you were featured in pretty recently. It was titled Five Things I Wish Someone Told Me Before I Started Leading My Company. And I really liked the idea of pulling from your experience to help educate others in a very practical manner. So I'm going to rephrase the question because I don't want to do the exact same thing that that person did and have it more geared towards the people that are listening today. I want to know, what are three things that you could offer them that could give them significant impact and that they can take from your learned experience and apply to their own lives? And if you can, if you have a couple anecdotes that might just tie it together, that'd be great to hear those too.
Yeah, I would say the first thing is what I just referenced a little bit ago is understand if you're going to open a business or you're going to take a chance and be in sales or some kind of commission, you know, no cap residual position in a company, that, you know, there is no elevator. You're not going to get paid big money fast. You got to be patient. You got to take the stairs. And you got to understand that you're not doing this to get rich. This is a long-term play, not a short-term play. So you got to get that out of your head. Too many people are like, I'm going to open this business. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to buy all these cars and houses. It doesn't work that way. You're going to open a business. You're going to be broke. And then you're going to build. And then you're still going to be broke. And then you're going to build. And then eventually you're going to make a little money. But you're building for long-term financial stability and freedom. And it takes a lot of time, right? You plant a lot of seeds. It takes time for that garden to grow. That would be one. Two, I would really say you need to learn from other people. You can't be a know-it-all. You have got to stick your pride and your ego to the side, and you have got to encourage, enable, and empower people to teach you and you to teach people, and surround yourself with people smarter than you in different aspects of business. You know, I can't be a one-man show. Our company doesn't do well because I'm Superman. That's not the case. The case is we're like the Avengers. I've got a great team. I might be Captain America, but I've got Iron Man. I've got the Hulk. I've got Spider-Man. I've got the whole group with me, right? So Thor, they're all in there. So I bring a great CFO on, or a great president on, or a great CSO on, because I know they can do things I can't do. You got to understand that in order to be great, you got to be around great people that do something different than you. You don't want the same exact person as you. That goes nowhere. You want someone a little different that offers something you don't. You offer something. It's like when you get married, opposites usually attract. When you're running a business and you're building leadership, you need people that are a little different than others that can complement and really put this puzzle together. And then three would be, listen, you can't be scared. The biggest failure is not trying. The biggest failure is talking about it. Well, one day I'm going to do this. It's not one day. Today's day one. It's let's just do it. And then as long as you have that mentality and you don't look backwards, you get through a lot of that stuff that you feel like you can't overcome. You can. You just got to take whatever decision you make, or like you mentioned, whatever hand you're dealt. Every hand can be a winner if you play it the right way. You just got to play it the right way and try. And if you don't win, who cares? You learn the next hand you're going to win. You got to look at it that way. You can't get negative and doubt yourself.
Yeah, that last part's so important. And just kind of going back to like the perseverance theme that has run through your life. Every time we go through something, and if we can take COVID as an example, we all have this shared experience. We've all persevered because we're all still here. If you're listening to this podcast, you're here. That's great. Congratulations. You've gone through something difficult and now you have a whole new vantage point from where you can start something new. You know that you are able to go through something terrible and come out the other end. It may not be where you want to be at the end, but you were able to get through it. And because of that, think about how we can level up along the way. And those three points that you shared were really great. And I just have to say, Jason, this was very motivating for me to pull from your energy, and I look forward to transferring this into my own life. So thank you so much, man, for sharing.
You're very welcome, man. And try to be blessed, be safe, and be hungry this year in 2021, baby.
Hell yeah. I love it. Definitely. And that's all we have for this episode of Success Shorts. Hopefully you found today's topic useful. And remember, have fun, stay curious, and keep it short.